My lecture now is going to look at the issue of integrating human rights education in the UPR process. And we're going to do three things together. First, there'll be a brief lecture overview of why it's important, what we can do. Second, we'll be exploring and examining the recommendations and pledges for human rights education and training on UPR Info. In case you've never used the website, this will show you. And then third, and finally, which is most important, each one of you will actually write what you consider as the best recommendation that you would give to your government, or a generic recommendation that we would give to all governments so we can measure human rights education around the world in one cycle. So first and foremost, we're okay with Senegal there? You guys working that out? Okay, headsets on, makes it a little louder. But we'll keep moving ahead. The main thing we're gonna look at is really integrating human rights education and training into the UPR is quite vital because, as we all know, there's no country that has a comprehensive national human rights education program. No one has a national curriculum from elementary to lifelong learning in the community. So, and everyone's here because they all believe in human rights education. So one of the most important things we must look at and concentrate on is coming up with a campaign to be able to put human rights education into every country's UPR experience. So that's one of those aspects where Jean-Louis and others have said we want to work on a regional level and cooperate. This is a great opportunity for each person here to take the responsibility for a region. And when the UPR deadline is up, to produce a short 5-page report, or even shorter, but more importantly, put the recommendations and questions that we want asked to every government. If we want to look at a model, we could look at the LGBTQIA. They did a great job at putting a question on gay rights at every country. And then the amazing thing is after the first cycle, there was actually a map they could make of how is gay rights around the world. I think this is a model that we could use and we should coordinate, and I'm willing to work with everyone after this to look at that. Now, what's so important about this is then we could map out who's doing the best. We could then become the best practices. We could then start sharing the curriculum. But it's the only way, because we've already had a decade of human rights education and no one knows what it is or what it was. So that's really important for us to look at. If we do look at what has been done, this is easy. All you do is pull up UPR and go to the database. Then you put up in here human rights education in the issue, and then you put recommendations. If you hit that, what happens is it then shows all of the different recommendations that are already there. So that's all we have to do is go there and then hit go. There's actually over 1,000 that were done. The thing, though, is they weren't consistent and they're also very weak. So what I want you to concentrate on and what hopefully you can complete is really coming up with recommendations or the language for the model recommendation. And all we're going to look at is the theme of SMART: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. So looking at that, what I want everyone to do by your own country, you know, you don't have to collaborate, but to turn in the nice writing, very neat, not like the doctors that some of us are with the, but what would be the best recommendation for your country or for human rights education and training in general? What is the questions and what are the recommendations that we can do? After we have that, it's important to know there's certain countries that are very strong in human rights education and training. Costa Rica, Morocco, Switzerland, these were all countries that worked for the adoption of the UN Declaration on Human Rights Education and Training. But as we know, if it's just adopted and left, nothing will happen with it. So what we're hoping and proposing is that for the remaining part of the second cycle of the UPR, we could do that. We can do that starting with some countries on this session, but definitely for Vietnam, starting in January, we can make sure that we get those questions asked by at least 1 to 2 countries to guarantee that human rights education and training would then be on the map. So while a lot of exercises sometimes at human rights trainings are just hypothetical, this is real. So whoever writes the best ones and whichever ones are the most comprehensive and creative but also fit the SMART criteria, we will use that when we do our advocacy at the UN in the future. So I was able to finish my part in under 5 minutes. So that leaves you at least 7 to 8 minutes to work on that. So what I would hope is that, you know, you have all that paper there. So you can at least tear out one sheet and everyone write out as clear as possible the best questions as well as recommendations that fit that. And there's no reason to have four, you know, just one or two really good of both. So that's 1 hour and 11 minutes pretty well. But the idea behind is that we will use that. We will negotiate with governments. We'll also work on getting other governments to be champions of human rights education and training, and then we can promote that.